Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Football Madness on the Hard Hits Network. It is a Friday night here in New York City. Good evening. I'm your host, Derek Flex Felix. And for the next half an hour, we've got a busy show for you, football show. Football Madness, as another big weekend takes place. Already one game done in the books for the NFL. That would be a very interesting game, actually, a high-scoring game between the Bills and the Jets, the Bills' home opener. And joining me on the line is one of my co-hosts, the one and only Colin Kennedy is with us, Colin Van Water Kennedy. Hello, Colin. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going, man. It's going. And soon to be joining us, Colin, will be the one and only John Gennorio, the most anti-NFL, anti-Goodell person that there is, aside from Brian Sandler. So, but I could understand that because Goodell really does suck as a commissioner. But we did have an interesting Thursday game, a game that we were wrong about again. I don't really know what to say. I see the Bills have already decided to get rid of their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who's the highest paid offensive coordinator of the league. And until after two games, they get rid of him. I'm a bit perplexed by this.
I don't know about that either. It didn't seem like they had any trouble scoring points.
What's going on? I mean, look, I understand they only scored 7 points and only 160 or something, 160 total yards against the Ravens. The Ravens, though, they actually do have their defense back this year. So, you know, maybe I do know that Rob was very frustrated with the first week and the fact that they only had those 7 points in the 13-7 loss. Last night was a little different. It wasn't the offense that let them down. It was the defense. The defense gave up, well, how could we put this in perspective, Colin? They lost 37-31, and they gave up 493 total yards in offense to the Jets, including 100 rushing yards of the Bills from Matt Forte, JPG's favorite Volvo Bear running back, who also cruised in the end zone for 3 touchdowns with hardly any tackling or any resistance by some of the Bills' secondary. So I guess we know who won the battle up front, who also dominated in the time of possession category. And if not for a couple of quick hits, Colin, from their quarterback, I like their quarterback a lot. If not for a couple of quick hits, the Bills would have lost this game by a lot, actually. So, I don't really know what to say. I mean, I guess they are pushing the panic button a little bit early.
I mean, they're still, you know, the Jets are just 1-1. The Dolphins are got to play the New England, right, this week. So they'll probably be 0-2. So, I mean, even New England will be 2-0, but.
I mean,
you know, you're not out of it at 0-2. You know, was it the Chiefs last year or 0-5 and they made the playoffs? They went like 10 in a row, something like that. So, you know, yeah, it's way too early to count anybody out.
When it comes to Buffalo, there is a conspiracy theory that's been started by Brian David Fedor. It's been going on for a while, actually, along with Rob Davis. It's the conspiracy of the fact that the Bills never get the favorable schedule. They never get the good schedule to take advantage and make the playoffs. And you know what I said at the beginning last week? I said, enough about the schedule. Make the playoffs already this century, please. I mean, Could you enough about the injuries? I don't want to hear about the injuries. At some point, it's time. You know, it's time. They have a good quarterback in T-Mobile, who had a pretty solid game with the three touchdowns, including that one touchdown that he threw early to Marquise Goodwin, who's a sprinter, dusted Revis, and Revis Island is no more, for 84 yards. That was perfect throw. And he hit another one like that. Greg Salas hit a 71-yarder also. There's enough talent, I think, offensively for them to score points. Shady McCoy did not have a big game. 59 rushing yards, limited 15 touches, at least rushing, that is. And one bad part was Sammy Watkins. Watkins did not finish the game, and he's not 100%. So the Bills do need a little bit more contribution from their receivers, and Robert Woods is supposed to be their second receiver, and he only had one catch. So they do need some help there. But, I mean, really, you're changing your offensive coordinator already. I don't know what to say. That begs the question, what are they doing? What is the thinking right now?
I don't know, but I hope that if the Falcons go 0-2, they follow suit and change their offensive coordinator, because Kyle Shanahan blows.
Well, you know what? I mean, look, you want to get off to an okay start because it's only 16 weeks. You don't want to get off to an 0-4 or 1-5 start. You don't want to do that normally. You know, not everybody is the Chiefs, not everybody. And the Chiefs, I think, that wasn't that the first time a team actually, from 0-5 start, ever made the playoffs?
I think it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, I understand, you know, they want to, but, you know, how about the defense maybe, like, tackling? How about covering somebody? I didn't watch a ton of this game because I was too busy watching the Yankees choke against the Red Sox in just epic fashion.
Yeah,
I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. As soon as Girardi decides, can't trust Blake Peter Parker to get some outs along with Tommy Lane, let's bring in Patates for a third straight night. And watching Patates struggle, I was like, look at my dad, and I just say, they're losing this game. I could just tell. Just he was all over the plate. And they got the two outs, and then Hanley took them. Hanley's been on fire the last 2 months. It was just – so I was fuming about that, you know, as you know. And you saw my reaction in the chat room. I was just really pissed off about that. And then, of course, the Red Sox, who they can't beat them up again tonight. What else is new? So the Yankees are pretty much done. But that once that game ended, though, once the game ended and they went to the post game, I just looked – and I said, get this game off. I don't want to see anything about the post game. Sure. I don't want to see any interviews. Just put on the football game, and that's it. You know, that's how annoyed I was about this game. And I'm watching the Bills, Jets. It's going back and forth. And every time I watched, right, it was either Fitzpatrick finding a wide open, whether it was Decker or Marshall, whoever. And there was nobody covering these guys. Or it was Matt Forte, who's not known for being like a big-time rusher, at least, you know, when it comes to classic, you know, handing the ball off. He got 30 carries, for crying out loud. And that's a lot for him. He's really more of a dual back, and he's just breaking tackles and running without issue. So I think the problem with the Bills, you might have to look at their defense a little bit, because – that's where they struggled last night. They got to do a better job.
I don't think the Ryan brothers are the answer to any.
You know what? How many coaches have the Bills been through since 1999? How about we figure that out? You know what? I'm going to do that right now. I'm actually going to do it. You know what? I'm going to look up how many Bills coaches. I can name some of these guys. Bills coaches history. Since 2000, Mike Mularkey was one of them, and he's coaching again. Greg Williams, Dick Charron, who came from
Doug
the Bears.
Marone.
I mean, Doug Marone, another guy. I mean, I mean, you know what? Let's start. We got to start looking at the Bills coaches. I mean, really. I mean, Marv Levy, right? Marv Levy was from 86 to 97. With four straight AFC titles. In the playoffs almost every year. And then Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips was a solid coach. He coached there from 98 to 2000. So he only lasted 3 years. He's much better as a defensive guy than a coach, but I would take him over the rest of these guys. Then Greg Williams, who was a defensive coordinator, more of a defensive guy. Wade Phillips, by the way, went 29-19 in 48 games. Greg Williams lasted also 3 years, Colin, from 01 to 03, 17-31. Dan Mularkey. And the Brian Sandhorn memorable screening, AL screening he came up with was Bunch of Mularkey. That was his screen name. That was an instant message screen name, of course. Inspired by Mularkey. 14-18 in two seasons, so under 500 again. Then they go to Dick Geron, the ex-Bears coach. Geron actually got the Bears to a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman quarterbacking. Oh, my God. But they had a great defense. Geron was a disappointment. I remember Rob Davis probably complaining about him. They went berserk about him. 24-33 and was axed with seven games left in the 09 season. And Perry Few, I think he actually was a defensive coordinator for the Giants. Perry Few took over and went 3-4. And then what they do, they went to offensive guy who nails it. Ironically, he's an offensive coordinator for the Jets now. And Jets' offense is pretty solid under him. Chan Gailey, who has been a veteran coach, went from 2010 to 2012, 16-32. So he was not the answer.
Yeah.
And then they went with Doug Marrone, who lasted 32 games and decided because he had a good second season, he deserved a raise and I'm not coming back. And he hasn't been back coaching ever since. And he's like doing like football assisting somewhere in the NFL. 15-17. And last year, of course, you had Rex Ryan. They got off to a great start, and as most Rex Ryan teams do, they finished very badly. And the Bills—that's a Bills tradition. The Buffalo tradition is to get off to good starts, look very good, promising, and Rob Davis is going nuts about it. This is the year, and then it just for some reason their schedule gets worse, and they can't win. They find ways to lose late. Rex Ryan is in his second season, and he's 0-2 already, so he's 8-10. So since basically Marv Levy, the average length of the coach for the Bills, they're on their eighth coach, by the way, if you count Wade Phillips from 98 to 2000. I mean, last time they made the playoffs was Wade Phillips, 99. The average is about 3 years. It's about 3 years, 3.5 years. If you
a three-year tenure.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
So when are the Bills ever going to find a real coach? A young coach that can, has the potential to stick, has a perfect plan in place, and have some consistency with their franchise. That's my biggest question with this franchise. Man, I mean, do you know, all right, so they have 18 coaches in their franchise history. So, and they've had some guys, some legend. Ted Marchibroda actually was under Marv Levy as a coordinator, offensive coordinator. Dan Henning was under Levy in 97. Kevin Gilbride, as much as we call him Killer Drive, and he was a little bit conservative, and I know he didn't do a good job with the Bills, but you know what? Do not win the Super Bowl two times without Kevin Kilodrive. So, and Greg Roman actually was a pretty polished coordinator and was the highest paid one during 2015 with Rex Ryan, and now is gone. So, I mean, I don't really understand this, but if anybody wants to call in, call us up. The phone number, if I could find it. And why can't I find the phone number on this thing? Ah, I got to reset.
1-2-4-6-7-5-8-2-2-6.
Yeah, that's because I have this stupid McAfee safe key thing on, and it blocks the top of the page, so I can't even see All right, so there it is. Or you could call in if you're in the chat room. It's a quick show, obviously, for now. 424-675-8226, Football Madness. Or if you're a Bills fan, Football Sadness or Badness, whatever you want to call it. I think, you know what, the Jets were favorite in the game, but the Bills had it. The Bills had this winning streak against them, and maybe that was the problem. Rob was talking about the win streak. You know, the Bills usually match up pretty well with the Jets, but it wasn't to be. They did not play any defense, and they lose the game. It is what it is. And I guess JPG has decided he's not going to join us. Gee, I mean, shocking. But we do go on to 11:30, and there is overtime, and JNF, by the way, knows about it. So the mystery phone could be hitting up overtime, possibly, on my phone. Now, as far as the rest of the league, Colin, you know, we've got some pretty good games this weekend, actually. Let's just highlight the big games, okay? I'm going to skip over Baltimore and Cleveland because there's no point, especially with Cleveland having no quarterback again. I'm going to skip over Tennessee and Detroit. I think Detroit will beat them pretty easy. You want to look at the Dolphins and Patriots? You have any thoughts on that? I mean, it's in the way, by the way.
The Dolphins, you know, kind of had hope for them a little bit, but they're at New England. New England's home opener, so they'll probably lose.
You know, the Dolphins have played the Patriots tough, though, in the past. Maybe that will be a close game. I'll just say it could be a close game. That's all I'm going to say. One of the bigger matchups is the Bengals, who were able to pull out that 1-point win against the Jets in a very exciting game. And their matchup at the Steelers. So two teams that are both 1-0. Steelers had that impressive win against the Redskins. It's in Pittsburgh. 3.5 points in favor of the Steelers in their home opener. I think the Bengals have the better team, to be really honest.
Really?
Defensively, absolutely. You know, the Steelers have a great offense.
I think the Steelers looked probably the best of anybody last week. Right? If I had to, you know, put a power ranking on somebody, I'd probably put them number one right now.
Okay, so you're gonna go with the Steelers. I'm gonna go Bengals.
I'm going Bengals.
I'm going Bengals +3.5. It's just the instinct on my part here. You're gonna go Steelers.
Yeah.
They are in their home opener. I can understand the rationale for it. Cowboys, Redskins, 2-0-1 teams, each in need of a win. It's in Washington. You know, to be honest with you, I was more impressed with the Cowboys than I was with the Redskins. Washington needs this game, though, because it's their second straight game at home. You know, they would only have 6 left after it.
Right.
I'm just going to say that the Redskins bounce back here. I'm going to go with a bounce back by the Redskins. I don't like their running game, though. I really think they just have to. Yeah,
I kind of like Dallas after Prescott settled in a little bit, you know. But I like the Redskins in this. You know, overall, for whatever reason, I just believe in Kirk Cousins, and I like Jordan
Reed.
The line
is 2.5.
Like you say, the running game what scares you there, but you know, that's going to be really
the line's
close
2.5. 2.5 for the Redskins.
Yeah, that would be a good one to watch. I think that would be a good game, actually. I'm rooting for the Redskins for whatever reason, but I would not be shocked if Dallas won. So I'd probably avoid that game, you know.
I would avoid that game totally. I'm with you on that, actually. I'm going with the Redskins because I think they'll bounce back, but that's one of those games that you might want to avoid. So, yeah, we're in agreement on that. Another really good game is 1 o'clock game is the Chiefs, who had that impressive comeback against the Chargers, who are chokers, coming back from all those points and winning in overtime. They are at the Texans. And the Texans, of course, you know, more of a defensive team still. Brock Osweiler, though, did get his first win. I think the Chiefs are better than the Texans, to be honest. I think the defense is actually pretty close, if you think about it.
They're pretty evenly matched.
They are evenly matched. I think the two games will be close between them. This is the first one between them. It's a CBS game. It's 43 for over-under. It's Houston by 2. I'm going to go Chiefs. I like the Chiefs in this one. I'm going to go with Jamal Charles. I'm going to go Chiefs. Which direction do you go on this one?
I would probably say the Chiefs just because the coaching. I would lean on the side of Andy Reid. Just in mind.
Okay.
I would.
All right.
In the game.
We're just trying to run through these games because we have to do quicker shows, and there will be overtime. So anybody who actually was tuning in for the first time, if you don't have time, check out our podcast. Just download it on the podcast because we're still doing shows. We're definitely still doing shows daily. At some point, we are going to go back to premium, and when we do, we'll be doing an hour and 2 hours again. So live. Another game. This is really a game that, look, I don't want to hear any excuses. You saw my rant last night in the chat after the Yankees lost. I said the Giants better win their home opener against the Saints, okay? I understand that Drew Brees has lit them up in the past. I understand all that. Yeah. I understand the Saints can put up points. But really, I think the Giants are the better team. I believe that should be able to put up a lot of points in this game. And they are favored by 4.5. No. If you're a betting person, stay away from the 4.5 with the Giants. I do not trust the Giants if they're favored by more than 3. All right? And I didn't trust the Giants last week against the Cowboys. I knew better. So can they win by more than 4.5? Yeah, they probably could. If it turns into a shootout, and usually when they play the Saints, it does turn into a shootout. I would have to think there are going to be a lot of points scored. I'm really hoping that the defense will be able to do a better job getting to the quarterback in this one. And the Saints got a lot of weapons there. So it's going to be pretty intriguing. It's a good matchup, to be honest. If you want to watch a fun game, a game that probably will be high scoring and high flying in your face. And I think Beckham will have a monster game. If you're in a fantasy head to head, you're one of those like leagues, one of those, what's it called? The draft queens, as I call it, or something draft like that. You might want to buy in on, I know Beckham costs an arm and a leg, but you might want to have Beckham on your roster for that one. But I'll tell you what, like Beckham's salary based on this is $37. You could get Victor Cruz for $13 or Sterling Shepard for $17. You might want to take a flyer on Victor Cruz in this kind of game. He did, and Victor Cruz at $13, the game-winning scorer. He might get some thrown to him in this one. So this is going to be a fun game. I'm going to go with the Saints and the points. I think the Giants will win the game. But again, be careful, okay? Be careful when it comes to the Giants. That's my warning, okay? That is the Derek Felix Flexian warning. All right. We've got some 4 o'clock. We actually have some 4 o'clock matchups. Actually, one of the better ones is the Colts. Whenever the Colts and Broncos get together, that's always fun.
Yes.
But it might not be as fun.
It'll
as
be a
much
little different.
Now that,
yeah. I mean, it's a little different.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be different with Luck going against Simeon. It is going to be different. I think the Broncos are a better team, to be honest. Andrew Luck had a monster first game. He did. I mean, and they still lost. If he just had a better team around him, if they could build a better team around him, I mean, Denver's favored by 6. You know what? I actually think I would take the Colts on the points on that and go +6 because I could see it being a nitty gritty game. Yeah. I think Andrew Luck will keep it close. I think the Broncos will win the game because of their defense, but don't be surprised if the Colts find a way to pull it out late. That's how I would pick that game. So I don't know if I would go Broncos minus six. So I would stay clear. What do you think on that?
It'd be prudent to take the points, I would say, but Mikey, the Broncos should win. Their defense is better than the Colts' defense, clearly.
Okay.
And the offense
is probably a wash. Yep. I see a couple of our interesting games. This is an interesting game to me. I've circled this one, actually, and I put it and tagged it, actually. It's the Tampa Bucks. They're visiting the Arizona Cardinals, fresh off a very tough loss. I think I would lean towards the Cardinals because they need the game. They're favored by a touchdown. You know what I'm going to say about this game? Either this is going to be a blowout in favor of the Cardinals, or it's going to go down to the wire. I'm not sure where the Bucks are yet. So I'm leaning towards the
Cardinals. They can score some points.
They can score points. Yeah, they can. But it is
their
a game on the road.
Not terrible.
You know what? It's a game on the road. I could also see them turning over the football a couple of times, and I could see this being a good offensive game for Arizona. 7 points is a lot, but I'm going to go with Arizona to win by double digits. I just have a hunch about this one. I'm not sure if the Bucks are quite there yet, but I think the Bucks are an up-and-coming team. So I'm going with the points on Arizona. Where do you stand, Mr. Colin?
I think you're like, you got a point when you're saying maybe the Arizona has something to prove this game. You know, they lost last week close.
The Bucks want to prove that they're good.
This could be a shootout, too. I think this would be a fun one to watch. I would probably say Tampa in the points. I'd probably take the points with Tampa Bay.
So you'll go plus seven with Tampa? All right, I'm going minus seven with Arizona. That's just a hunch on my part. This is actually, we're going to get to your team, actually. They're in Oakland. That's a tough place. Falcons at the Raiders. Raiders are an improving team. Are the Raiders for real? Or is this a team? Is this a game where maybe Matt Ryan steps up and maybe the Falcons find a way to come out and get the win and go to 1-1? What do you think? I'm giving this one to you.
I think that they have a chance to win this game, the Falcons do, on the road. And if they don't make any mistakes, keep the penalties to a minimum, things like that. Play a game. It's a solid game. They don't turn the ball over. You can win it. You can beat anybody like that. So as long as you play like that, you can beat the Raiders. But these aren't the old Raiders. Like, they're a good team. They got a good offense. I like Derek Carr. I like Cooper. They got some good players on defense. Mac's going to get some pressure. Falcons offensive line is sketchy, so they're going to have to block real well. And this could be a blowout in the Raiders' favor, though, in all honesty. Falcons make some mistakes, and the Raiders should score all over them.
Well, all right. Well, it sounds like you think the Raiders are going to be 2-0. Yeah, I think I would see them actually do that. But I hope not for your team's sake. I was leading towards the Falcons. The points are 4.5 in favor of Oakland, so that's where they are on that. Let's see what we got. We got a Sunday night game. This is probably one of the games of the week. Packers, Vikings in Minnesota, defending division champs against the wild card. Aaron Rodgers. What can you say? He's the man. He can do anything, pretty much. And is Sean Hill starting this?
Great.
Is Sean Hill going to start again in this week? I mean, that's my question. As we go into overtime, does Sean Hill start? And what about Peterson?
Is he really that much worse than Sam Bradford, though, in all honesty?
Well, the reason they didn't start Bradford the first week is they didn't feel he was ready yet. They just traded for him. They're trying to get adjusted to a new system. So that was one of the reasons for it. Let me check, the fantasy sports. There's a fantasy sports site where you can actually get updates on what's going on, you know, as far as whether or not he's going to be part of it. So whether or not it's going to be, which quarterback it's going to be, I think there will be a lot of points scored, obviously. So I do think you'll see a lot of points. And I'm leaning towards the Vikings. You know, I don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be, but Minnesota is a pretty tough place to play. I think they'll be pretty pumped up, their fans. I think the line's got to be pretty tight. It's an 8:30 game. It's Green Bay. They're favored by 2. So if you take – what you got to do is take the Vikings with the points, and the over-under is 43. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think the Vikings will find a way to win this game, actually. But I'm going Vikings. What say you?
I like the Vikings at home. You know, they'll be pumped up
this
game. Green Bay's defense is always a little sketchy to me, but you know they always have the capacity to outscore you. So
they can outscore you. They can. So I mean, the lowest score I get is the better for the Vikings, I would say. Mike Zimmer, the Vikings coach, is still not saying who's starting this game. So he's kind of trying to just play it coy right now. Has not announced his week 2 guy yet. Updated from Friday, from today, whether it's Bradford or Sean Hill. So that's interesting. We are in overtime now. And great job out of JPG. I spoke to him 5 minutes before the show. He says he'll see me in 5 minutes. Well, it's outstanding.
Maybe he was listening in. Maybe that's what he meant.
No, JPG is a weird cat, you know. He's a weird cat, I'll tell you that much. He did celebrate his 31st birthday, though, so that's a good thing. And maybe he had some cat food. I don't know. Some cat food that got caught in his stomach. Who knows? He is the one and only Gene Oreo. We've done a lot of games already. Some of the, like, games that, you know, I'm not really, like, I haven't really mentioned that. Baltimore-Cleveland. Really doesn't pique my interest that much. I'll just say Baltimore. Josh McCown. Hey, Josh McCown gets another chance to start at least. Scurf it out. But that's gonna be a tough one. I think it is a
Cleveland display of football there. Yeah, that's not.
There will be a very
boring
display of football. Yes, there will be. I definitely agree there. But I would have to think Baltimore's favored by 6 points. Baltimore doesn't strike me as a team that will blow people out, but it is Cleveland. We got the Titans against the Lions in Detroit. You'd have to think the Lions would win. I would take the Lions.
Titans were a 3-13 team last year. You know, they have some pieces there. I like that.
They do have some pieces.
Sharp and Derrick Henry, you know, Roll Tide. Come on. But the Lions,
their
offense is not too bad.
Derrick Henry has to do better than 5 rushes for 3 yards. So I think they need to give him the ball a little more. I hope that, you know, he gets it. He was an excellent, you know, college running back, you know, but, you know, they got some pieces there with Mariota and with Derrick Henry. So you hope that will come together, certainly. They also have Murray. They did sign DeMarco Murray, too, so that's part of it. But, and they have Ryan, and that's not Ryan Matthews, is it? No, it can't be. 6 points, though, for Detroit. Who knows? Who knows on that? How about, here's a game. This is a must-win game. I'm talking about Dan's Carolina Panthers, man. They're hosting the 49ers, the 1 o'clock game for the West Coast team. 49ers, Blaine Gabbert had a pretty solid game against the awful Rams. And, boy, God. I did not realize how bad it was going to be for the Rams, but they are really bad. Brutal. This is a game that you would expect big performance from the rating MVP Cam Newton. I expect that. I would have to think that they'll come out strong here. what they want to do is just limit the running attack of the 49ers. You know, stop. If you can control Carlos Hyde and keep Gabbert in the pocket, it could be a long day. They could probably force some turnovers and turn them over a little bit. Do you know what the line is for this game? Well, for Yahoo,
no.
The Panthers need to win this game by 2 touchdowns to cover. Yeah, 13.5. They're getting 13.5 in this game. It's a lot.
They can do
your
it.
Boy.
But...
Oh, they can do it. Your boy is a big Kelvin Benjamin guy, and I like Kelvin Benjamin to have a pretty good year also. They have, you know what, offensively, defensively, special teams, I mean, they have it all. I just don't know if I would take them by 14 in this one, but I would expect Carolina to win. I expect Carolina to win and be 1-1. All right. So I definitely would expect that. All right, which way are you going on that one?
I mean, I believe that Carolina will blow them out. But you never know. The 49ers, could just, like I said, they can run the ball a little bit and control the clock. They can keep it within 2 touchdowns.
The
Carolina
problem with running the ball
too.
Is that it's hard to run against Carolina. That's the only thing I would say about that. And if Carolina stops the run.
But Denver, they were running it pretty well against Carolina that Thursday game.
Yeah, true. That is true. Seattle is 1-0. They're facing the dismal Rams. You know, this might be one of those trap games. This is the L.A. Rams' return to the Los Angeles Coliseum. So you know that their fans are going to be juiced. They're going to have plenty of juice for this one. Seattle, obviously,
you've
got to
believe they'll play a little better than the Rams.
If they can't get up, if they can't get up for first home game back in L.A., Seattle, they're 7-point favorite. I don't put Seattle as a 7-point favorite against anybody. Because Seattle always plays to the vest, you know? They're not like they don't blow people out usually, you know? But this could be a blowout. This could be a blowout. Especially if their defense forces turnovers. So I really want to pick the Rams in this game, Colin. But I can't.
Yeah,
I want to do it. Last week was so
bad. They're better.
Oh, my God. You know what? What were you going to say? I want to pick the Rams, but I can't do it.
Exactly. Like, you want in your heart the Rams to win, and you believe that they can, but you just know that the Seahawks have better players, and better coaches, and better quarterback, and better everything.
They're better at everything. I mean, and Seattle has a little bit of a goal this year after how last year ended. They, I'm sure, are going to be pretty focused and have a little bit of edge to them this year, I think. So I think they're going to have some edge to them. And nobody's really picking them.
They did not look good at all the first week.
So against the Dolphins?
The Seahawks.
They
the Seahawks,
the Dolphins.
They had to pull it out of their ass at the end there. They almost lost.
But that's how the Seahawks play, though. You know, they're not a dominant team.
The Rams could beat them like 6-3 or something disgusting.
They're not a dominant team anymore, And I think that's what showed up against Carolina is that they felt if they were really a legit team, they wouldn't have felt falling behind Carolina by almost touchdowns, before making their comeback. I mean, so it's like, this is one of those games that you would have to say, well, Seattle's probably going to win this game pretty big. 20 minutes left in the show. What games haven't we done?
I think just the Jags and the Chargers.
And the Monday night game with JPG's Bears. Let's save JPG's Bears for last. the Chargers against the Jags. Well, I mean, Philip Rivers, obviously. You know the Chargers. You know Phil Rivers will put up points against Blake Bortles, who actually had a pretty good first week. You know, they played pretty close. I'm sure they got the Chargers. Yeah, they got the Chargers as a field goal favorite, according to this, for this 4 o'clock game. Yeah, I think that line's about right. I'm going to take the Chargers to win by at least 3 points. I'm going to go Chargers.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jacksonville. I kind of like Jacksonville. I don't know why. I think they can play. They're better than they were last year, and they weren't terrible last year. So the Chargers lost their best player too. So I don't know how they're going to respond to that. You know, they had that huge, lead that they blew. I don't know if that could demoralize them. I don't know.
And
if they lose to Jacksonville at home, that would really demoralize them, wouldn't it?
If they lose to Jacksonville at home,
I think that's a must win for the Chargers.
I would say the Chargers are in for like a 3 or 4 win year if they lose this game. They will totally fall apart because that's the Chargers. That's what the Chargers become. Unfortunately, they're not a complete team. You've seen it. I think Phil Rivers needs to wind up elsewhere. A team where he could maybe have a chance at something, He needs to wind up elsewhere. How old is Philip Rivers? That's right. He's got to be the same age as Eli. That's right. So he's 30. Holy crap.
35, 36, maybe?
I just made another discovery. I share a birthday with a lot of famous people, including Kim Basinger, Dwight Howard, Dwight Stage Fright, Mike Messina, a couple others, a guy I got covered by Zach McAllister, who pitches out of the Indians bullpen. My last check, a couple other people. Well, Philip Rivers was born December 8th, 1981, so I share a birthday with him also. Go figure, man. So, he is 30. He'll be 35 this December. This guy's still one of the best gunslingers in the league. This guy throws for over 4,000 yards every year, He just puts up numbers every year. And
all he does is check down, though, part of it. Little short dump passes.
I mean, you know what?
Receivers are never great. He never makes a receiver really, really, really good. He had Antonio Gates, who's a Hall of Famer. Who else has he really made? Who else has he put on that next level?
He can make receivers better. He's never had great. I wouldn't say he had great receivers. He's had a lot of good receivers. You know what Philip Rivers is to me? You know what Phil Rivers is? Phil Rivers is the Dan Marino of this era. You don't think so. Phil Rivers to me is that. I'm just talking about in terms of being jinxed. Let's examine this, okay? This is Phil Rivers, okay? His career right now, okay? Over 41,000 passing yards. He's at 41,690, so he'll go over 42. He'll be going over 42 this year. He could reach 45 this year, actually, if he continues at this pace, throwing 4,000. His touchdown to INT ratio is much better than Eli's. 282 touchdowns, 135 INTs. That's pretty good. Eli just hit number 200 for interception. That's pretty solid. 82 fumbles, 37 lost. That's not bad. It's not a bad rate. Out of the three guys, right, that were drafted that year, would you agree that Roethlisberger is probably the best guy out of the three and is definitely a Hall of Famer?